since 2010. Hey, man, he's watched over since 2009. And here we are, the first Sunday in 2010. Thank God, we made it by the grace of Almighty God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He is worthy to be praised. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Amen. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I worship you, Lord, in the beauty of holiness. I worship you, Lord, and I give you praise. I worship you, Lord, in the beauty of holiness. Oh, Lord, I give you praise. For it's you that I embrace. Say it again. Oh, I worship you, Lord, in the beauty of holiness. I worship you, Lord, and I give you praise. Oh, I worship you, Lord, in the beauty of holiness. Oh, Lord, I give you praise. For it's you that I embrace, and I adore you, oh Father, and I appreciate your love. I embrace your presence, and I embrace your spirit. I embrace your holiness. Lord, it's you that I embrace. Oh, and I adore you. Yea, Father. Oh, and I appreciate your love. Oh, and I embrace your presence. Lord, I embrace your spirit. Hey, I embrace your holiness. Oh, for it's you that I embrace. Oh, I worship you, Lord, in the beauty of holiness. Yes, I worship you, Lord, and I give you praise. I worship you, Lord, in the beauty of holiness. Oh, Lord, I give you praise, for it's you that I embrace. Oh, and I adore you, oh Father. Oh, and I appreciate your love. Oh, and I embrace your presence. Well, I embrace your spirit. Hey, I embrace your holiness. Well, Lord, it's you that I embrace. Say it again. Oh, and I adore Father. Well,
she saved your love. Lord, I embrace your presence. I embrace your spirit. And I embrace your holiness. For it's you that I embrace. Yes, it is. Lord, it's you that I embrace. Nobody but you, Lord. Oh, yes, it's you that I embrace. Oh, I hold on to you, oh God. Lord, it's you that I embrace. Oh, hallelujah. Blessed be your holy name, Jesus. Hallelujah. We embrace you this morning, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, blessed be his holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Bless his holy name. Let's get our Bibles and just turn to a scripture. Amen. This morning. Praise his holy name. Hallelujah. Psalms 118. We'll read from there. Hallelujah. Amen. Psalms 118. We wish everybody a happy new year. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. Psalms 118. And it reads as follows. It says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. For he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. You can put your house in there too if you want to. Amen. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Amen. Not the government. We put confidence in God, not the government. All nations can pass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They can pass me about, yea, they can pass me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They can pass me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and is become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them. And I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refuse is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. This morning. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, we come before your presence. We thank you, amen, to be here, Father, this first Sunday of 2010. Amen. We were certainly chased sore throughout 2009. But, Lord, we are free this morning. We were not delivered to death, Lord. We are free to worship and praise you, and we thank you for that. Lord God, we just ask that you would just be welcome in this place this morning.
Let your spirit have the preeminence, Lord, in all things that are said and all things that are done. We trust that you, Lord, will uplift our spirits, that you, God, will bring deliverance to those that are bound, that you, God, will bring the Holy Ghost to those that are seeking, Father, and longing for a filling of the Spirit. You say, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Lord, that's a promise that you gave us, and we're holding on to it. We trust, Lord Jesus, that you'll have your way, God, in the service. We commit it into your hands, God, even right now. Bless those that are here, those that are still on the way. We ask that you would bless, and that you, God, would be glorified in our midst this morning. May no flesh be seen. All we want to see is Jesus. Amen. Let him be on display today, oh God. We invite you right now to have your way, God, in this place. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And amen. Let's give him praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You're welcome in this place. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, blessed be his holy name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you are welcome in this place. Lord, you are welcome in this place. Lord, you are welcome in this place. Have your way. Oh, Lord, you are welcome in this place. Oh, Lord, you are welcome in this place. Say, Lord, you are welcome, oh, in this place. Hey, have your way. Oh, move by your spirit. Move by your spirit. Hey, in this place. Move by your spirit. Move by your spirit in this place. Move by your spirit, spirit in this place. Have your way. Oh, send your anointing. Oh, send your anointing in this place. Send your anointing. Oh, in this place. Send your anointing, Lord, in this place. Hey, have your way. Oh, send your anointing, yeah. Send your anointing in this place. It's the anointing that destroys the yoke. Send your anointing, Lord, in this place. Yay, send your anointing, oh, in this place. Have your way. Heal and deliver in this place. Oh, Lord, please heal and deliver in this place. Heal and deliver right here, right now in this place. Heal and deliver. Oh, in this place. Yeah, have your way. Say with all your heart, heal and deliver in this place. Lord, please heal and deliver in. Yeah, heal. Heal and deliver. Oh, heal and deliver in this place. Have your way. One more time. Lord, you are welcome in this place. Oh, say, Lord, you are welcome in. Yes, you are. You're welcome right here, right now. Oh, Lord. You are welcome in this place, have your way. Oh, blessed be his holy name. Hallelujah. Oh, this is the day. Well, now this is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. Hey, I will rejoice. Yes, now I will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, and be glad. Oh, this is the day that the Lord has made. Yeah, I will. Oh, and be glad. Well, you know that this is the day. Well, now this is the day that the Lord, yeah. Come on, sing. Well, we say now this is the day. Oh, this is the day. Oh, that the Lord has made. Oh, that the Lord has made. Well, I will rejoice. Well, now I will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, and be glad. Oh, this is the day that the Lord, well, I will and be glad. I know that this is the day. Oh, this is the day. Oh, that the Lord has made. I came to magnify. I came to magnify his name. Oh, yes, I came to magnify, oh, his name. Well, I came to magnify the name of the Lord. I came to magnify his name. Oh, help me to magnify. Help me to magnify. Magnify his name. Oh, help me to magnify, oh, his name. Yeah, help me to magnify, oh, the name of the Lord. Help me to magnify his name. Oh, I came to magnify his name. Oh, yes, I came to magnify, oh, his name. Yeah, I came to magnify, oh, the name of the Lord. I came to magnify his name. Help me to magnify, oh, his name. Oh, help me to magnify, oh, his name. Yeah, help me to magnify, oh, the name of the Lord. Help me to magnify his name. Oh, say now, I have a river of life flowing out from me. Oh, the cripples walk and the blind to see. Yes, it opens prison doors, sets the captives free. I have it. I have a river of life flowing out. Oh, spring up, oh well, yeah, within my soul. Hallelujah. Spring up, oh. Hey, and make me whole. Spring up, oh well. Yeah, yeah, and give to me, oh, my more life. Oh, abundantly. This is the day. Oh, now this is the day. Oh, my, this is the day. Oh, that the Lord. Oh, that the Lord, yeah, and I will rejoice. Lord, now I will rejoice, oh, and be glad. glad in it. Oh, and be glad. Oh, this is that the Lord will and I will. Yeah, be glad in it. Well, now this is the day. Oh, that the Lord has made. Oh, somebody give him praise today. Worship him this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Join me in one more song this morning. The song says, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. To worship you, all my soul rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship you, all my soul rejoice. Oh, take joy, my King. Oh, what you hear, let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. One more time, say, I love you, Lord. Yes, and I lift my voice all to worship you, all my soul rejoice. Please take joy, my King. Yes, in what you hear, let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Take joy, my King. Oh, take joy, my King, in what you hear, let it be a sweet, sweet sound. Say, let it be a sweet, sweet sound. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. You can be seated. Prepare for our tithes and offering this morning. Amen. As we just make preparation, just a few announcements that we'll make while we're doing that. Tonight we'll have communion at 5:30. So don't forget that tonight, communion service at 5:30. And ask that you just remember the young people that went to the meeting there in Leesburg. They had a youth camp, and they're having a really, really good time. We went up Friday night, and yesterday got back late last night,
just been having a really, really good time. So they're having their last service this morning, and they'll be driving back after that service. So just remember them in your prayers for Traveling Mercies, that little place there. If we got any brothers that like to fish, when they do that again, there's a big lake, huge lake. Y'all like to fish for bass, you're going to want to go to Camp Horizon. Amen. But it is beautiful there, and I have a feeling that they're going to be doing this a little bit more often, just as a way to encourage and strengthen, amen, the young people. So keep that in mind. We also want to wish Sister Wisdom a birthday on tomorrow. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Wish her a happy birthday for tomorrow. Amen. Thank the Lord. And I think we also have Brother Mike and Sister Shanika celebrating a birthday on Tuesday. Amen. So we wish them happy birthday as well. And they're just so blessed to share the same birthday as brothers and sisters. Amen. Thank God. Only God can design it like that. Amen. But we thank God. I know this is a big one for Brother Mike, so we certainly wish him, amen, a happy birthday. If the brothers would prepare to come at this time, we'll take this morning's tithes and offering. Amen. Amen. We will move a little further in the service.
Lord, Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for just allowing us another opportunity, Lord, to move into a new year, Lord, a year that we've never seen before, Father. But, Lord, we are believing that you're going to carry us through this one just as well as you did the rest of them, Lord. Lord, we ask you to bless the saints, Father God. Lord, we ask you that you will bring us higher in your word this year, Lord. Give us a desire and a heart to please and to serve you, Father, with all our might, Father. You say if we draw not of you, you will draw not of us, Father. And Lord, whatsoever thing that we're dealing with, Father, you say if we are whatsoever we bind on earth, Lord, that you are binding in heaven, Father God. And Lord, we release your blessings over your saints today, Father. Lord, just bless us, Lord, like you never blessed before, Lord. Continue to let your Holy Spirit fall down in the midst of this place. Bless our pastor, Father, as he continue, Father God, to go in service, Lord. Give him a word, Lord, to speak over this congregation today, Lord, that will encourage us and strengthen us, Father. And, Lord, we just want to say thank you. And, Lord, we ask you to bless this offering, Lord. Father, for this is a key part of your service, Lord. This is how we receive, Father, from you by giving, Father. You say give, and it shall be given back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, shall man give unto your bosom, Father. Lord, you say if we sow sparingly, we'll reap sparingly, but if we sow bountifully, we'll receive bountifully. So, Father, bless those that give today, and bless those that had a heart and desire to give, but weren't able to bless them with seed next time. And, Lord, we just give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. I will praise the Lord. Oh, I will praise the Lord. No matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, I know I will praise the Lord. Oh, I will praise the Lord. Yes, I will praise the Lord. Oh, no matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, I know I will praise the Lord. Sing it one more time now. I will praise the Lord. Yes, I will. I will praise the Lord. Oh, no matter what tomorrow.
more, I know I will praise the Lord. Amen. Is that your testimony? Hallelujah. No matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, my testimony is I will praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. The Lord is good. Somebody said God is good and all the time. Amen. God is good. And we just love him and appreciate him. Amen. I wanted to thank the Lord for my niece, Candace. Amen. Being here this morning. Hallelujah. We thank God for her. So good to see her this morning. And I don't know if y'all got a chance to, but if you can, just turn around and tell your neighbor, Happy New Year. Amen. Happy New Year. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Certainly thank the Lord for bringing us through 2009. Amen. Certainly thank God for that. We had some trials. We had some things that we went through, but God certainly brought us through. And that's what matters. That's what matters most. You stand on the other side of 2009. You wave goodbye. Amen. And you wave. Amen. You get greetings to 2010. And we don't know what the Lord has in store for us in this upcoming year. If you all could just turn that screen off there for me. Thank you. You know, I was just kind of reading something in the scripture, and maybe I'll just read it for you real quick. Don't worry about getting it in your Bible. We'll come back to it. We'll have you get your Bibles a little bit later. But just something that I was reading out of the book of Amos, and it just kind of blessed my heart. And let's see if I can just get that for you real quick. I believe that we're closer to the coming of the Lord today than we were yesterday. Amen. And I don't believe that we have much more time here. I was kind of thinking along the lines of, you know, that a lot of these people that have the 2012 going to be it, you know, it's the end of the world type thing. They're saying, I think the Aztec calendars and all that are running out, and, you know, and all these other things that they say. And then you have some on the other side. I was listening to the radio. One guy was saying that, oh, no, I don't see Jesus coming back for like another 50 or 60 years. You know, and say, I just don't see it happening. And I'm like, no, he ain't right either. Amen. And, you know, and some of us, we live like it's going to be 50 or 60 years from now. Or it might not be in our generation. But there are promises in Scripture, different things that you see, like when Israel went back and became a nation, Jesus said this generation would not pass until these things be fulfilled. So a lot of things happened in 1948, so it's almost like the rapture is overdue. You know, it really is somewhat overdue, and only people that could be holding up is us, because we're not ready. Huh? That's the only thing that would stop the rapture from taking place is us. Amen. And that goes in a number of different ways. Some is because that we're comfortable with where we are, right? And we're not, so there's no true desperation that's really struck the church. We're very satisfied with our conditions. And I think some of the things that's going on with our government is kind of pushing us to a state of desperation. And, you know, so now is the time, you know, more than ever before to stay focused. Amen. The one song said, this is not the time for giving up. Amen. It's time for holding on. This is not the time for looking back. It's time for being strong. And I believe that with all of my heart. I'm doing everything I can to fight off the devil. Amen. Everything I can. I'm swinging with everything I got, just trying to fight off the devil. Because he's coming in so many different ways, and he's so subtle, and, you know, he's so quick to get into something, but, you know, we just do all we can just to keep pressing, church. Keep pressing, keep pressing. That's what was told to Brother Branham as he went to the other side. He said, just keep pressing on, keep pressing on. And, you know, this scripture here in Amos, the very first verse in Amos 1 says, the words of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. And, you know, as I was looking at that, I said, my, it just brought me back to, it brought back to my attention just to just maybe take time and just share this. Some of you all may not know, but let me just kind of tell you all. There's a prophecy that was given, amen, in regards to California, Los Angeles, California. And this prophecy was given back in the 60s about Los Angeles, California sinking underneath the ocean. And we know that they lie on a tremendous fault line there. And, you know, oftentimes they have these earthquakes. And you know, the unfortunate part is that many of the people that live there, the earthquakes don't bring any fear to them at all. See, it does not bother them. To you know, you go out, especially somebody from Florida that goes out and talks to them, you know, like, man, I'd be getting out of here. I was talking to a brother, you know, just the other day, and we were talking about, he was saying how he went out to Los Angeles, and he said this city reminded him of Los Angeles. I say, well, brother, I've been there, too. I've been to, you know, San Diego, California, and I just could not enjoy myself. I was having a hard time, you know, enjoying myself. I wanted to get in and do my business and get right out. And I had a flight that connected in Los Angeles, and I couldn't. I was walking in fear, you know, just bottom line. And I'm in there at the airport. I'm like, Lord, please just get this plane out of here. Don't let it sink with me here. I know there's a prophecy that's sitting on top of this, and God, please just get me out. So the brother said, brother, that's the same way I felt. You know, he said I was at night praying and like, Lord, I'm just here just because I got to be here. But, Lord, you know my heart, God. I say we all feel that way. But he said he started talking to people there, you know, just on the streets about, you know, about, man, this, all these earthquakes and all that. He said many of them like, well, over in Florida, they have hurricanes all the time. Y'all live in hurricanes all the time. Why? And y'all make it through that? Well, we make it through earthquake. But they do not realize, amen, the importance of the prophecy, you know. And the other thing about, you know, when it struck me here, if everybody thinks something's gonna happen in 2012, you know, what if, you know, something big like that would happen? Now, when Los Angeles goes under, it will affect the economy of the entire United States. Y'all think we're having problems now? You have not seen trouble. See, we haven't seen trouble until, you know, something like this occurs and something that the government cannot do anything about. You know, I mean, it's too great for them to do anything about. And you know, when I read this, it's like, oh, my, this, you know, what if we just a few years away? Actually, I think we could be hours or minutes or days away from something like that happening, you know. And if it were, what if God were to give you a revelation that, look, you know, it's going to happen in 2 years. Well, what would be your response in trying to get everybody ready for the rapture? See, you know, what about reaching out to our families? What would be our response in trying to get everybody ready? Look, you can't go through the tribulation. You got to get out of here. You got to get your life right. You got to get ready to go. See, amen. I mean, the love in our heart would just kind of, I mean, really be going after our loved ones, you know. I mean, man, we got to break through. Something's got to take place. Please, you don't understand. See, you don't understand. I mean, what's awaiting you? You just don't see it. And, you know, and it's like Elijah's servant, you know, as he was there, he's like, he couldn't see what was going on. But Elijah, he's like, Lord, open up the young man's eyes. Please let him see. Amen. You know, he don't have to fear because we got more protection with us than they got with them. You know, but sometimes our eyes are blinded by the things of this world that we can't see, amen, the impending danger. Amen. See? We don't recognize how serious the hour is. I mean, this is a great hour to live in. And, you know, I'm going to kind of go back into, you know, what we were talking about on Friday night. But this is a great hour, and I'm really feeling that, amen, church, we don't have time to play games. You know, this world that we live in is not our home. Amen. We're pilgrims just passing through. But we don't want to take residence on this earth. It's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Amen. This is not our home. So whatever it is that the devil's offering us, it can't even compare with what God got in store. Amen. Amen. I mean, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. It's not even entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for us. Church, I want to encourage you. You know, let's make sure that let's get our hearts right. Let's get things right. As we go into 2010, let's not carry over some of the stuff that we brought out of 2009. Let's not bring it over. But I mean, you know, and you know, sometimes you have to do your own analysis. Your self-analysis. Oftentimes, now remember, you know, look, it's not everybody else's fault. It's not. You can't keep saying that, well, it's their fault. You got to remember something. Every time you're pointing a finger, every time you're doing like this and you're pointing a finger, and you're saying this person did this and this person did that, it's because of what they did that's why I'm the way. You make the choice to be the way that you are. It's not nobody else's fault. If you make that choice, you decide to do that or not. But every time you got your finger like this, notice how my hand is I'm pointing the finger. There's four fingers pointing right back at me. These three and this one is pointing right back at me. So what we have to do is start focusing on us. See? Focus on us. And this is a good time to do a self-assessment. Lord, what about me? I was thinking this morning, and you know, sometimes you get them thoughts. You know how y'all get y'all songs in the shower. Amen. Preachers get thoughts and everything in the shower, too. I made a statement to myself. I said, you know, all of us are different in our own respective ways. Every last one of us are different. And it's okay. Just the way God makes flowers, they different. They got different colors, different shapes, different everything. I mean, animals, insects are different. Animals are different. That God is a God of variety. And when he makes man different. We all got different personalities, you know, but that's okay. The choice is, my choice is that we love each other regardless, no matter what happens, right? You know, no matter about our differences, I'm not focusing on differences. I'm focusing on love. And I said to myself, I don't care about being different. You know, I just want to love everybody. That's what I want to do. It don't matter. That part right there don't matter. I still want to love you. See, I want to love you irregardless of anything. I want to love you. And I think if we can come with an attitude like that, boy, the devil won't have a chance. I love you, you know. I mean, and well, you did this. I love you. Well, you did that. I love you. No, you. I love you. See, when you handle things like that, the devil, you know, they say you kill people with kindness. Kill them with kindness. See, and this is what we got to come back to. That's 1 Corinthians 13. You know, when we decide ourselves, this is my testimony. I'm walking in 1 Corinthians 13. Now, if you don't want to, that's fine. I'm gonna still cover you with 1 Corinthians 13. Amen. Praise the Lord. But church, we come to a spot now. We're here, 2010. We're closer than we ever been. And I don't know how much longer we got. I don't know. But, you know, whatever the time that we do have, we want to make it all count for the Lord Jesus. Amen. We want to make it all count. Some of you all, amen, we were there at Brother Smiley's on Friday night. Had a wonderful time. And you know, I know that everybody wasn't able to make it. And I brought a message there on Friday night, and I wanted to kind of go back and, you know, a little bit more today, because my purpose for doing this is that I want to just try to bring church as a whole, amen, underneath the same inspiration as to what we're looking for. And after I preached the message, I didn't even realize, you know, I mean, the way I told you, you speak one thing, but God, people pick it up a totally different way. And as I'm speaking on that message, you know, it came back to me some things that were, you know, this year, the title of the message was the year of release, the year of release. And that's what we'll be talking about today, the year of release. And when I was talking about it, they said, man, well, Brother Caleb preached, released me three times last year. And then here at the end of the year, here we come with the year of release. And I'm thinking that, amen, 2010 is the year of release. But, you know, you look at 2009, that was the year of release. You know, and as Brother Caleb just preached and released me, you know, there comes a time where I think, you know, things are spoken in a prophetic manner, but that prophecy can't remain a prophecy. At some point in time, it has to manifest itself. And I'm trusting that, amen, this year will be the year of release. I just want to maybe just read a scripture or two, and then we'll talk a little bit about what we talked about on the other night, and then maybe we'll try to take it a little further, amen, with a few quotes that we have. Second Corinthians is where I want, that's where I read from the other night. And then also I'm going to read a scripture out of Psalms as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, praise the Lord. My. Hallelujah. It's, all right. Verse 16, 2 Corinthians 3, and it says this. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for standing. And I do invite everyone to stand that can, because when we read God's word, his word is more important than any word. Amen. It's just out of respect and honor to him. Verse 16 says this in 2 Corinthians 3, says, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. The veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the spirit of the Lord. We're being changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Let's just breathe a word of prayer, then I'll have you be seated. Father, we just thank you for the ability to read the word. We trust that the Holy Spirit will just make the word live to us, God, today. As we, Lord, just try to bring, amen, this message even here to Spirit and Truth Tabernacle. Some of the saints already heard it, Lord, but we trust that you'll just get the glory, amen, out of it, and let it sink deep into our hearts. As we meditate on what's being spoken. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. What we did was we took that particular message Thursday night over at Brother Smiley's, the year of release. And where this came from, where this is birthed from, is we were here in prayer. And we thank God for the 7 a.m. prayers that He gave us last year. And just we appreciate the Lord, and we'll keep it going this year until the Lord say otherwise. But you know, we were saying that we were in prayer, and while we were, I just kind of brought that to my spirit one morning, and I just began to pray that, you know, declaring this is the year of release. This is the year of release. And I didn't realize, you know, what I was saying. Just God just brought that to me. And then Brother Caleb had come to me a little bit later, and he said, I don't be trying to listen, you know, while other people praying. That's not what I'm doing. But brother, when the Lord just put that in your mouth, the year release, something just hit me, you know. Say something just hit me. And it's like, my, you know, something about that. And I just kind of felt, say, you know, sometimes, again, you speak things out of prophecy and not really knowing what you're saying. And I didn't even realize we found a scripture that it is actually right there in the Bible. And we'll maybe try to talk a little bit more about that. But I wanted to declare, as we open up 2010, amen, the year of release. Now, this means so much to so many. All right. To some of you all, if you have a wayward child, this could be the year release for that child. Amen. And some of us that might have a situation in the house where just tension just been there for all of 2009. Well, this year, declare it for yourself. This is the year release of that tension. Amen. I'm not gonna be fussing and fighting with that tension. I'm tired of having sleepless. See, I'm tired of not being able to sleep at night because of the tension. I'm not going through that anymore. See, and you have to let it come forth out of your mouth. This is my year of release. See, I'm done with that. Amen. I realize I'm going to have some more trials, but this trial has come to an end. Amen. Amen. This trial is over with, you know, and it's now it's time for me to go into something new. It's time for me to graduate. See, but you know, and the other thing that I look at, I know that we have some saints, amen, that have been waiting for some things to kind of take place financially. You know, this is the year of release. See, and see, when you catch that by revelation, then your actions begin to demonstrate that. You know, I mean, that's all you begin to speak, the year of release. This is the year. And you know what? You can, as you speak that, amen, it brings that thing to pass. Now, maybe it wasn't going to be the year of release, but because you kept speaking it, amen, it brought that thing to pass. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. It's got to come out of your mouth. This is the year of release of my son. This is the year of release of my daughter. This is the year of release of my grandchildren. This is the year of release for me. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Anything in your life, declare it as the year of release. See, don't just let that just be another good sounding message, but you want to catch this deep down in your spirit. Amen. And then when the devil coming back to you with all kind of tests and trials, let it come back from your spirit out of your mouth. Amen. Satan, I heard with my own ears, this is the year of release. Amen. I don't care what it looked like. They're going to release it and let it go. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, think about Peter them in jail. You know, and me and the brother was talking as we were coming back from Okeechobee. And, you know, you think about Peter being surrounded by 16 soldiers. A quaternion, I think they called it, 16 soldiers locked in stocks. And amen. And he's in the deepest part of the prison, in the inner cells. Oh, my God. Help us right here, Lord. Because this is where some of our family is. They deep down inside of some stuff. Amen. They so deep in there that when you look at it with your own natural eye, amen, you don't see any hope for them. Oh, hallelujah. But see, but amen, but they're in that condition. God can send an angel. And even though they might have lost the key to unlock those cells, God can send an angel and say, stand to your feet. And all you got to do is be obedient to the voice of God. And that Peter just stood to his feet. He didn't need no key. He just needed to obey. And as he obeyed God, the chains fell off. Not only did they fall off, but the doors begin to swing open. And that's the way it'll be in your life. Doors that were closed, they'll begin to swing open in the year of release. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. See, you know, the same way that he came out by faith. You know, right on out of that prison, just begin to walk right on out. And you know, and notice now, here he got people at home praying. And this is the way maybe some of us have been. Right? We just like this mate. We just like her. Right? We praying, but we really don't believe God can answer that prayer. We really don't trust that God is able to do what, amen, what need to be done. See? You know, amen, here they are out there at home, they're praying, and, you know, and see, that's the problem with us. We're going through motions. We understand the lingo and all that type of stuff. We just know what to quote, when to quote it. Soon as somebody says something, well, yeah, the Bible say, but you really don't believe what the Bible say. See, amen, we can quote it and we can cut them off real quick, but we really don't believe what we're saying. See, so here this lady, amen, they're at home praying, and, you know, we're praying for Peter to get set free. I'm praying for my loved ones to be set free. I'm praying for this, and, you know, here come Peter, led by an angel out of the prison. When he got out, he knew where to go. He went straight to the prayer meeting. See, amen, when you get delivered, do you know where to go? Amen, go straight to the prayer meeting. Come to the prayer meeting, 7 o'clock on Sunday morning. Come to the prayer meeting. Hallelujah. See? See, so here Peter walks out and he's going straight to the house where they're having a prayer meeting. And when he get there and knock the door, now here the lady sitting there praying, and here go the aunts at the door. And she get up and she go to the door and look and say, Peter out there. She didn't even open the door. Oh, God, help us right here. When are you going to open the door for your loved ones? When are you going to actually open the door? Come on in, you know. Let's get this thing settled. When are you going to open the door? Hallelujah. I hope you're with me. See, but here, she didn't even open the door. She just kind of looked. And then she went in and said, Peter, and even the people in the house that she's praying with, that's not Peter, that's his spirit. I mean, they're so spiritual they can't even see the real thing. That's not Peter, that's his spirit. Well, why would his spirit be here? See, no, that's not Peter, that's his spirit. No, a spirit came knock. See? I hear knocking at the door. Not only that, I see somebody knocking at the door. That can't be just a spirit. I know we've been praying, and I know we in the spirit, and I know some great things can happen, but this is reality. Finally they realize God has answered prayer. And ain't God, it don't take God long to answer no prayer. It just takes somebody getting serious with God. It don't take no weeks and months and just get serious with God. Just one time, just get, Lord, this is what we need. Here, you know, and oh my, y'all bear with me because it's a lot on my mind. As God is doing things, God delivered Peter the same way that He delivered him. He's in the inner cells in some stuff that. And that's the way some of us, we in some stuff that we don't know how we're going to get out. I know what I'm talking about because I'm there. Amen, I know. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. There's something that pretty much me and my wife was going through pretty much all of 2009 that none of y'all never even knew anything about. You know why? Because when you're going through, when I'm going through, I don't show it to you. And that's the way it's supposed to be. You'll never know. I can always tell when somebody's going through. I just watch actions and reactions. But, see, I mean, you want to get to the point where my God bless you is always the same. My smile is always the same. No matter what I'm going through, it's still the same. See? I can tell y'all some things. I remember one time we was at the church and we were going through a little bit at the church. And, man, they was trying to sell the church right from underneath the church. Nobody even knew it was going on. And different ones was looking at the church and, you know, and they looking at it and like, well, I think they thought it was going to be a little bit too much work because ain't no choir stand and all this other stuff. You know, if y'all with me, some of y'all may not be with me. Don't worry about it. But it's just a pride church, you know. But here, I know what's going on, and we just sitting there just waiting on God just to work some things out. And before you know it, rather than them sell, they come up with a new mortgage so the church can hold on to the property. Nobody wanted to buy it because God ordained it to be there. But, you know, I thank God for my pastor time. He never came out and said anything to the church. Because then, you know, sometimes when you say too much, people worry. Everybody not operating in faith. Soon as they, oh, that's it right there. Don't get, just wait on God, you know. See, but the thing of it is, you want to get to a point in your Christian journey in 2010 that people don't even know what you're going through. Amen. Like my pastor used to say, don't tell us you're in the fire. We smell smoke. We smell smoke. We know you're in fire. But you got to get yourself to a point in your Christian journey, like it just you ain't gonna even be able to know whether I'm going through. Like Brother Branham, you can tell his enemies from his friends because they treated everybody the same. You gotta get that way. Everybody know you don't like so and so because of the way you treat them. You don't want it to be that way. We Christians. I was at work.
was at work and talking to this young lady, and she had gone to Washington, D.C. pretty much like a couple weeks before we went up, and she was telling me all the different sites that she went to see, and as she was talking, she went through a little something with her father, but she started talking about her father and her mother and grandparents, and she's Jewish descent. She's talking about how they come through the Holocaust, and her father and her mother and her grandparents, and, you know, how they were all separated and all kind of things happened during the Holocaust. And as she was talking, it just really piqued my interest, because, you know, here's something that sometimes we get so far removed from events, you know, but it just happened 70 years ago or so, right? And so you got people of age that remember some of the events that took place. And I just thought about it, like, man, God had a prophet on the earth at the time. And, you know, he prophesied about various things happening, and they happened, about Hitler doing what, you know, coming in and doing some things, and Hitler's mysterious end. And, you know, he prophesied about that, and all of it came to pass, you know. But yet, the Jews had to go through what they went through. But you know what? God's word is so perfect that God had to leave a remnant. All them Jews couldn't be destroyed, because the word of God got to go back to the Jews. See, and since the word going back to the Jews, somebody's going to go through, but they weren't cast down, not forsaken, you know, I mean, distressed and perplexed, but, you know, we still got victory, you know. I mean, these Jews, even though they was going through, somebody was going to be released. Somebody was going to be delivered. Oh, I hope you're with me. Everybody could not stay bound forever. Everybody couldn't, amen, go into these human incinerators that they created and all. I mean, everybody wasn't going to die like that. God had to have some Jews remain so the gospel can go back to them. Amen. And Hitler was trying to wipe them all out. Anybody that was Jewish, he was trying to wipe them all out. Hitler, he couldn't overcome the word of God. He was going to come to an end before them Jews came to an end. And as she just began to share with me how her loved ones, you know, were in these conditions, and I just began to do some research. They talked about, and I guess this is where this word ghetto come from, right? I mean, we use it so loosely now, you know. Oh, they growing up in the ghetto, and that actually, for some of the young people, that become a status symbol, being in the ghetto. How tough you are to come out of the ghetto. Well, they started this with the Jews. See, and with that, what they had, they took their property from them. And as they took their property and took their shops that they owned, they took all this stuff from them. And then they put them, amen, they built little areas and say, now y'all stay here. Now what happened, they let them all stay there. Then they would be able to come out and go freely walk around amongst the people. But then eventually got to the point where you could not leave the ghetto. You live in the ghetto, you don't leave the ghetto, because they felt they'd be a threat. See, and sometimes you don't want ghetto-like conditions, but, amen, in the spiritual realm, we do have ghetto-like conditions. Amen, the devil isolates us, he puts us in a little place, amen, and at first we're able to kind of go out and fellowship a little bit with everybody, but before you know it, the devil got us locked down in this ghetto condition. Amen, you stay here, you sleep here, you do not move from here. And before you, I mean, you're bound, and amen, and don't even realize how bound you are. And this is what happened to these Jewish people. And, you know, as we went up there to Washington, D.C., the girl was telling me about they have the Holocaust Museum. So I had to go find it. And I start walking through it. And as I walked through it, I'm like, oh, my, it's amazing what these people went through. It's amazing. And then I start to find out that it wasn't just Jews. There's a lot of other people that went through. I couldn't believe what I was. You talk about a quiet museum. That's one of the most quiet museums you ever walk in. Everybody that walks through is awestruck by what happened to those Jews. But yet, and still in the midst of all that, I can see a promise that looms over them. And back in 1933, things began to develop, you know, amongst those Jews, where they start going through all these trials. Oh, my church. 1933, and I mean, you know, from going through ghetto-like conditions, then eventually going into camps.
and many of the camps, and y'all just stay with me. I'm going to go somewhere with this. But as they in these camps and, amen, in these like concentration camps, and, you know, they slowly but surely killing these people off. I mean, mass murder that they got going on amongst these people. Until one thing that they built, they have them walk into a building like they're going to take a bath. And they trick them. Everybody, come on, y'all got to take a bath. We're just going to spray. And as they walk into the building, they don't even realize it, but they walk building before you know it, they're like in an oven. And many of them just dying just like that. Dying. And all the people doing just taking their bodies out. Mass murder. But I'm sharing all this with you because even though they was going through all that, and some of us might be in some really bad positions right now, spiritually. But no matter how bad it is, there comes a time where there's a year of release. Those Jews had that. They had a year of relief. 1945, it was over. I mean, here come the Americans and some of the other countries coming in, England, and some of them coming in to liberate these camps. And as this young lady was telling me, she'd say her mom was one day away from going into one of these camps and dying. She knew the next day that she would be dying. She knew that. But she'd say, but because they came and liberated her, she was set free. It was a day of release for her. A day of release. And, you know, I mean, I see some of God's people in the same condition that these Jews were in. See, but there has to come a time, amen, a day or a year of release. You can't stay there forever. You can't stay there forever. You have to be released from that. You know why? Because if you're a part of God, then you got to go back to God. You came from God, you got to go back to God. There is nothing. There's nothing in this world that can keep you here. God can't, I mean, the Bible say all that the Father has given me will come. I have not lost one. It didn't say how we was going to get there, but we will come. And I'm declaring that this year, they will come. This year, 2010. They will come. I'm declaring that. Now, see, and you got to catch that for yourself. Amen. They will come. This is the year of release. This is the year. You don't know what trial God going to use to break them down. You don't know what God going to do. But whatever God got to do, just let God be God. Let God be God. Lord, whatever it takes, I just want to see my family released. Hallelujah. I think about this story of this brother and Brother Branham's meeting. His brother, his whole family backslid. Children, everybody backslid. And one day he went to church. And as I was there in church, Brother Branham just felt inspired to say, "Brother, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I give you your children." What if he wouldn't have received them? What if he wouldn't have received them? Even though the prophet gave them, what if he would refuse the package? Not my children. Them. Man, them some of the worst kids. I never want to see them again. You don't know how they hurt me. You don't know how this happened. And what? So don't say those type of words, Brother Brown. You don't understand. What if he wouldn't have received it? See, but sometimes what we got to realize, the same God that offered grace to you. Amen. When you were unlovable. The same God that can change you in your year of release. The same God is still on the scene today and he can change your loved ones. When it was spoken, he received it. This, I give you your children in the name of Jesus. Right there. In his heart, like, oh my, that right there, when that was spoken, that became a year of relief.
for his children. That was a time of release for his children. He went home expecting it. And by the time he got home, amen, somebody was crying out to God. The ones in the house, they already crying out to God. Dad, I want to go to church on Sunday. Dad, I can't wait to go to church. Dad, Daddy, when the church? When they going to have church service? You know, Brother Branham told us that when we lose our desire to rush into the church when the church door is open, that's the time that we have to go back to the altar. When we lose our desire, when that's taken from us, see, when that desire, like I need to get to the altar real quick. Something wrong. Something wrong. See, I'm not going to let this is my testimony. You have to, and this is where you got to be. Don't let nobody take your joy. Don't let nobody take your peace in God. Nobody. I don't take your joy. I don't take your peace. See, it don't work that way. It don't work that way. I'm going to tell you, if you know, my God, you are more important to God than I am. Your soul is more important. If I was here not doing the right thing, God would move me off the scene. Because you are more important to him. You're his bride. Amen. But, you know, that time when it was spoken, that man began to accept what was spoken. And his family began to come in one by one by one. There were some that were not in the house. Didn't matter. Because you're not here. You might be out doing whatever you're doing. That don't matter. I don't care nothing about that. The word of God will find you wherever you are. And when it finds you, it will arrest you. Why? Because this is the year of release. You have to come from wherever. I don't care where you're at. You got to come in. You are my promise. God promised you to me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you're my promise, you got to go free. You don't have anything to do with it. This is the year of release. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Bless the name of Jesus. Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Oh, my. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. One of the other things that I have in my heart is as a church, the bride of Christ as a whole, we have to come to a spot where we're not just wearing that title, but the actions that come forth from our being is a manifestation of the title. Amen. See, anybody can go claiming that they bride. All of these, every, you know, pretty much just about every woman in here could claim, well, I'm Brother Jack's wife. See, you can claim that, but if you don't get in the car with me and go home with me, you're not my wife. See, and just like there's many churches that can claim we the bride of Christ, but if they're not going in rapture, they're not the bride. No matter how much they claim to be the bride. See, just like in the days of Mary when they heard that a virgin would conceive, so many virgins stepped out, I'm pregnant. Ain't no baby come forth in 9 months, you was not pregnant, you were lying. See, it was, I mean, God has this designation of bride for a special people for this hour. God sent his prophet to get a bride prepared. Amen. And I'm convinced now more than ever before, we're closer. We're so much closer to the coming of the Lord. God is pulling his people from the north, the south, the east, the west. He's calling them in. God is doing that. See? And as God is doing that, amen, he's preparing us. Look, God, everybody here, you didn't come to this church. You didn't come to this church just because. Most of y'all can look back in y'all life and see some things that y'all was going through that led y'all. And when you go on looking for a church, you're not just looking for a church just, okay, they got a good singers and they got good musicians, they got a good this thing. That's not what you're looking for. What word is being preached there? See, what word is being preached there? And then on top of that, you know, my job is not necessarily to preach a message that excites you. See, that's not why God called me to preach. Make them excited. That's not what it is all about. My job is to help you get ready. We're talking about leaving. We're talking about going somewhere and not coming back. And my job is to help you get ready. Look, it could happen any day that we could be. So every service, I got to make sure I'm trying to give you something to help you think about where you at. Look, we don't have time. I mean, I don't know how much time we got. When I was young, I didn't think I would make it to the age of 40. I didn't think I would. And I just couldn't see. I just can't see. It's just too much stuff happening for me to look at. I'm going to be here another 40 years. I can't see it. That's why I live every day like it's my last day. I'm living every day like it's my last day. Lord, am I ready now? In the condition that I'm in right now, am I ready for your return? See, the magnet is getting ready to pass over. You understand this magnet is coming across. And when the magnet come across, the magnet can only magnetize those elements that have magnetic elements. It can only, I mean, as the factory closing down for the day. See, we are at the end of time now. Amen. Everything is coming to a close right now. And here comes the great magnet, our Lord Jesus Christ, passing over. This is what's happening. He's passing over slowly. And everything that can be magnetized will be magnetized. Brother Branham saw that in the factory that he went into. He said, man, at the end of the day, they take that and all the scrap metal and scrap this and all of it just sitting on the floor. And like, ain't y'all going to sweep that up? No, we ain't going to sweep it up. Just don't worry about it. Well, what y'all going to do with all it? Just watch this. And go and flip a switch, and then here it come, the magnet come across. And everything that was there on the ground that could be magnetized was pulled up to the magnet. But he said, now, say, what about that stuff right there? How come that didn't go up? He said, that's aluminum. And aluminum can't be magnetized. Make sure you're the real thing. Church, make sure you're the real thing. When it comes to God's word, don't compromise with it this year. Let me encourage y'all, sisters, don't with the word of God. If God tell you a certain thing to do, then do it. I might as well say it. You know, I'm gonna say it just like this. And I'm not trying to hurt. I'm not trying to hurt nobody. All right. But like God's word does speak about jewelry. See, God's word speak about jewelry. It does tell us about it. Now, Brother Branham's wife wore a necklace. And that's why we allow that. But you know what? Sometimes we're getting a little bit too far with where we're going. It was a real simple necklace that she wore. Very simple. Now we're going way out there. And it's not simple anymore. I don't even know the word to call it. But it's stuff that it draws too much attention to you. And then it go from a necklace to we got bracelets on all our on every hand. You know, we don't need all that. What is that for? Who are we trying to impress with all of that? See, and some of us have been to the point where we didn't even wear necklaces. We didn't wear them. But you know what does that? Because we see Sister So-and-so wearing it. Don't let Sister So-and-so's spirit get on you. See? I saw Sister So-and-so. No, go back to the Word of God yourself. Look at the Word of God. What does it say to you? And just walk in what God say to you. And pray for Sister So-and-so. But you're not trying to be like Sister So-and-so. You're trying to be like Christ. See, I mean, we got to watch this. You know, I mean, because it gets so out of hand, y'all. I'm telling you, we got the little babies in it now. Come on, y'all. Come on. Tighten up on some of this stuff. 2010, let it be a little different. We're not trying to get further and closer to the world. We're trying to get away from the world. Amen. I think you ought to make a conscious effort. Just take it off sometime. Just take it completely off. Forget that you even got it. Walk around all week without it till you don't become attached to that. That thing get the whole of every outfit. I get this up. No, you don't. Not everyone. Not every outfit. Amen, church. I might as well just say it. This is the year of release. This is the year of release. We're releasing a lot of this stuff that we've been holding on to. We're releasing it. We're letting it go. I don't even know where I was. I was talking about something. I lost my thoughts. Amen. It'll come back. Amen. It'll come back. But the thing of it is, as the bride of Christ, I'm looking, amen, at the bride. And you know what? We haven't really stepped into our place yet. We ain't made it there yet. We got dynamics. I'm sorry, mechanics. We got mechanics, but we're not seeing the true dynamics of the Spirit. Brother brought out a point last night. He say when Samson defeated, you know, the Philistines, heaps upon heaps he defeated. We should be defeating heaps upon heaps of the devils, not just one little devil here and one, heaps upon heaps. We should have blessings, heaps upon heaps. This is what it should be for us. But for some reason, we're not seeing God move. We know he can move, but we're not seeing it. Church, Brother Branham not coming back for this. This is in the bride's hands. And I believe that this is a time where the bride has to be released. And we read that scripture about nevertheless when it shall turn to the Lord. And this is what I believe. We are turning to the Lord. When it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. And that veil is just like a artist. We talked about Michelangelo the other night. That artist has that thing just hidden away. He has it hidden away, and he's working on it, and then there comes a time where that artist realizes that, okay, I'm finished with whatever it was I worked, whatever I had in my mind is finished. Now it's time for me to release this thing. Now it's time for me to show the public. Now it's time for me to make sure everybody sees this. See, and that's the way I think God is with his people. God been chipping this off, chipping that off, working this, doing that. You understand? Look, when they built Solomon's temple, all the stones were cut before they even got to Solomon's temple. That's a type of us. Everything that we went through before we came into the body of Christ. Amen. As the bride of Christ. Before, I mean, we were being cut, being a home, being shaped to fit into a very specific place. And as that's taking place, as God is bringing together, now I believe the time has come where we pull the veil off. God begins to pull the veil off. This is my bride. Just as he did for Jesus. He said, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. The adoption ceremony for his son Jesus. Look, now the same thing for the bride. This is my beloved bride. Hear ye them. I believe we come to that spot. No longer just talking about it. Amen. This is the year of release. Unveil. Unveil what God has been doing all these years. It's time for it to be released. Church, I'm convinced that it's that time. I know it. That's why the devil fight the way he fights. If he can just break us up, if he can just break it up just a little bit. That's all the devil is. If I can just get in just a little bit, boy. If I can just get in just somewhere, then I got it. But if it's up to us. No, I love you. 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 That's the way we got it. No, I love you. I love you. Well, you know, I did this to you. That's okay. I love you. But I did this. I love you. Amen. But that, I love you. Amen, my Lord. I love you. Amen. I love you. Amen. That's all that matters. I love you. Amen. Nothing else matters. I love you. Amen. And love, you know what love does? Covers. Amen. Covers. Love covers a multitude of faults. Multitude of sins. My love, you know why? And see, God's love covered mine. Well, my love's got to cover yours. I love you. That's what it comes down to. And then you're released. That's all, that love is going to be the thing. That's the honey that sticks. When it seemed like it's not going to hold, it looked like that thing you were getting ready to bust open. But all of a sudden, love just keeps it together. Amen. Ain't that just so perfect, church? That's so perfect. I just love the Lord. I had some other quotes. Maybe I'll just read the scripture and I'll close today. And Deuteronomy 15 is what we were reading from the other night. The year of release. Praise the name of the Lord. Brother Branham made the comment. He said, the greatest treasure that a man can find is to find release. It's the greatest treasure that a man can find. Just find release. I got to find some place I can let off the pressure. I can get rid of what I got. I can let it go. My. So here in Deuteronomy chapter 15, God's law that he gave us, and unfortunately a lot of these laws are not being kept anymore. But yet and still, they're perfectly there to assist us, amen, in our walk with the Lord. And we can certainly find purpose for applying. Deuteronomy 15 says that at the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release. That means you have to do it. At the end of 7 years, you can't hold on to it. You have to release. And as I love that, like Brother Bradham said the same thing about the devil. He said the enforcer is here to make the devil give it back. See, if the devil has taken one of our loved ones, the enforcer, the Holy Ghost, is here to make the devil give it back. That means I ain't got to ask and beg and plead. Just claim my right. That's my child. Enforcer, that's my child. That one right there. That one belonged to me. Go and make the devil give him back. Listen, thou shalt make a release, and this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. Don't hold on to it. If you lendeth aught, amen, don't hold on to it. See, shall release it, he shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. Of a foreigner thou mayest exact it again, but that which is thine with thy brother, thine hand shall release. It's some things we just got to let go. No sense in us holding on to it. All it does is weigh us down. Amen. I'm just going to let it go. Save when there shall be no poor among you, for the Lord shall greatly bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it. Only if thou carefully hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all these commandments which I command thee this day. For the Lord thy God blesseth thee as he promised thee. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow. I'm receiving that. And thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee. If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. You see a person in need, they might not have what you have. Don't harden your heart towards them. Don't close your hand towards them. Amen. Pray for them. See? Nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother, but thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. This is what we're supposed to do in the year of release. See? Beware that there be not a thought. Now that's hard to do sometimes. But this is important. You know, Brother Branham taught us that our thoughts are heard louder in heaven than our words here on earth. That's why you got to even be careful how you think. You don't even want to think about nobody bad. My. Amen. Our thoughts, see, Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand. And that I be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him not, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. Now, just real quick, this time is also called the sabbatical year in the scripture. And often what happened is that this was a time where the land had rest. Whatever grew on the land in that seventh year like that, they were not supposed to take it and try to make no money off of it. But they were supposed to allow the poor, amen, to be able to get all that they needed from the land during that year. See, they weren't supposed to do anything. Just let the land have rest. Don't try to make money off the land. Just let it have rest. God will sustain you. This is what they were supposed to do. Now, also, we'll keep reading, but during this time, if a slave, amen, if you had a person that was bound to you as a slave, then this was the time that you're supposed to let them go free. You weren't supposed to hold on to them any longer. Now, they could decide to stay in that condition if they wanted to, and if they did, then their ears, amen, were taken to the door, and they got a hole put in it, and they had an awl put in their ear. It was a sign that they would be slaves for the rest of their life. That's what it was. It was a sign of bondage for the rest of their life. So, you know, the thing of it is that you still had to offer them that freedom. Now, if they made the choice to stay bound, that's them, but you had to offer the freedom. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my. You have to offer the freedom. You have to offer the release in the year of release. This was God's law, church. They had to offer that release. You're not going to be slave to me anymore. You're not going to be bound to me anymore. I offer you this release. Now, if they chose, I love it here. I love being bound to you. I love this. Well, let me take you to the ear. I mean, let me take this all, put it in your ear, and it'll be a sign that I own you for the rest of your life. Hallelujah. Listen, the seventh year, the year release is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him not, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. The other thing that happened in sabbatical year is that even though I might not owe Brother Mike, you know, I could have been owing him, you know, and then in the year release, he had to release me. So for this year, I don't owe him. But Brother Mike, holding this heart, well, after this year over, that debt that you owe me, we're going to pick up on it next year. And that's wickedness in his heart. See, if he does it that way, amen, well, I'm just kind of setting you free because this is the year of release. But next year ain't the year of release. It's a new day next year. And I still got it in my tally book that you owe me. Remember that. And I'm going to be letting you know about it next year. Well, that tells you that in his heart, he wasn't conforming to God's word. You know why? Because if he was conforming to God's word, it would be like Jesus. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. He who the Son releases is released indeed. Amen. Don't worry about it. Hallelujah. Verse 10, thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him. That's Why? If your heart is grieved, because if you're not doing it really out of the heart of God, God ain't changed your heart. You know what? You'll be holding on to that thing. Well, I just kind of did that just because they said, dude, you know, I ain't my heart. Boy, watch. You can't tell them nothing. But you know what? When that person starts suffering in their body and you're wondering why they always asking for prayer, check the heart. Thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee. Now, because you do it, the Lord will bless you. See, for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works, and in all that thou puttest thine hand unto. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor and to thy needy in thy land. And if thy brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee and serve thee 6 years, then in the seventh year thou shalt let him go free from thee. And when thou sendest him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty. Thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock and out of thy floor and out of thy winepress, of that wherewith the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, thou shalt give unto him.
and thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt. You used to be bound to. See, thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing today. And it shall be, if he say unto thee, I will not go away from thee, because he loveth thee, and thine house, because he is well with thee, then thou shalt take an awl and thrust it through his ear unto the door, and he shall be thy servant forever. And also unto thy maidservants thou shalt do likewise. It shall not seem hard unto thee when thou sendest him away free from thee, for he hath been worth a double hired servant to thee, and serving thee 6 years, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all that thou doest. As you can see, just by them putting a hole in the ear of the Israelites, it's a good sign to you, church, that the Israelite children did not have holes in their ears. See, they didn't have it. The Israelites. And the Israelites was God's chosen people. Right? They were the ones that God picked out, hand-picked out. They did not have holes in their ears. The only way they got holes in their ears is when they chose to be bound. Chose to be a slave for the rest of their life. That's when they got holes in their ears. That's, amen, that's just the truth of the gospel. All right. We declare this year a year of release. 2010. 2009, we heard release me. Well, be released. Amen. Not only you be released, but you release somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So much more that could be said, but I'll just leave it right there. I won't go any further than that. I'm sure we'll be touching on that periodically throughout the year. And, you know, because we just believe that. We believe 2010, the year of release, we're proclaiming it in Jesus' name. Let's bow in a word of prayer. My, I didn't even get to something else I wanted to say. I'll get to it later. Father, we just thank you for your word. Lord, we believe that this is a year of release, the sabbatical year. It's come upon us. And God, we're trusting that, Lord Jesus, we would be able to receive what the Spirit is saying to us in this hour, and that we'd be able to walk, amen, in the fullness of it. Lord Jesus, there comes a time, just as Michelangelo had his great painting of Moses, it worked for so long on that. There come a time where he had to release it. He wanted to show the world what was underneath the canvas. Lord, I believe that's where the bride is. You want to show the world what's underneath the canvas. You've been working on this. You've been chipping this away and that away and doing all the things that only you can do. And God, we just thank you for the work that you have done in our lives. One person said, I'm not what I want to be. I'm not where I should be. But I sure thank God I'm not what I used to be. That's the way we feel, Lord Jesus. Pray, God, that you would help us to rise, amen, to the forefront in this hour. Lord, to walk in all your word. You have given it to us to walk in, not to compromise with it, not to play games with it, but, Lord Jesus, just to walk freely according to the word. That's our prayer. That's our desire. We proclaim, we declare, 2010 is the year of release. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. I brought out the point the other night about Michelangelo. He had Michelangelo, when he what happened is he had a as he was working on this project with Moses, and as he was working on that project. Brother Branham made a comment about Michelangelo. He said, Michelangelo, after he finished it, what happened is that he struck it. And when he struck it, that actually made it the masterpiece. And Michelangelo cried out, speak, Moses. And I believe that's what God is calling for his bride, speak, you know. But Brother Branham made this comment to Michelangelo.
about Michelangelo. You say, had he thought about what he was doing, he wouldn't have done it. That's what he said. I got the quote here. He said, had Michelangelo really thought about what he was doing, he wouldn't have done it. Amen. But because he didn't think about it, that's why sometimes we got to move by inspiration, move by the Spirit. Sometimes we overthink some things, you know. But if we just once God's Spirit just begins to move, we got to move with the cloud. See, we got to learn how to do that, because oftentimes if we overthink it, then we'll miss God. We'll miss God. See, so church, I want to encourage you. As God deals with your heart, amen, move out with what God tells you. Amen. God bless you.